But now we are reading from the book of Matthew, chapter number 5 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I remember growing up in the Christian family, born again Christian family. So as a young boy, we used to be given assignment in church and sometimes at home to memorize scriptures. And one of the scriptures that we were given to memorize was this Matthew 5 and verse 3. It was one of those scriptures that every time I would speak in front of the church or at home in the night, it was a scripture that never made sense to me. It never made sense to me until a few years ago when the Lord started teaching me about the power of a spiritual person. And tonight I want to help you understand something as a child of God concerning prayer. And you will be amazed that God answers prayer so fast. And sometimes it's not about God answering, it's about you as a child of God hearing. Because God is more than capable of doing the things that we ask. There is nothing that we can come up with in terms of a need or a request that God will not be able to meet. First, because He is all-powerful, all-capable. He's a very resourceful God. And there is nothing that we can have that will be a surprise to Him, because He is our Maker. And I believe tonight I'm talking to people that love understanding, because the Bible teaches that we can pray with the Spirit and we can also pray with understanding. And the first part, the Bible talks about praying in the Spirit. Now, most of people, when they think, including men of God, when they look at the subject of praying in the Spirit, the only thing they are thinking about, or the only thing that comes in mind, is speaking in tongues. But praying in the Spirit is beyond speaking in tongues, because the life of a child of God is a life that is spiritual. So there is life in the Spirit, which we do knowingly or unknowingly. We are just designed to be that way. We are spiritual beings. And by us being spiritual beings, and this is the fact, the number one thing that differentiates us from normal animals, wanyama wa kawaida, ni kwamba tuna roho, tuna nafsi. It's not just that we have five senses, because there are other animals with five senses too. Sisi tuna chaziada, tuna nafsi. And we have a spirit. And it is through the soul, kupitia roho, that we are connected with God. So you being a spiritual person, haitoshi if you are so. I need you to hear me very well. You being a spiritual person is not enough. You are a spirit being with a body and a soul. But your spirit can only find expression through your soul. So your soul can either limit your spirit, it's not even your body, by the way, or can empower the expressions of your spirit. So the soul becomes the gateway of spiritual manifestation. Please hear this. It will help you in your prayer life. Your soul becomes the gateway of your spiritual manifestations. And that is also not enough. It is also the gateway of every physical manifestation too, in terms of receiving information from your flesh. This is why Jesus died, for the salvation, not of the spirits, but the souls of men. Jesus died not for the salvation of spirits, but of souls. Nafsi ziokolewe. So when you are born again, there are two things that happen to you. The first one is your spirit is awakened. And the second one, which is supposed to be a continuous process, is the part of your soul, which is what we call a continuous salvation. Because in your soul, you grow from one level of glory to another level of glory. And your growth, please hear this, is affected by the knowledge you have of God and His Son Jesus Christ, and your understanding of what you have known. So your liberty in Christ is limited by your knowledge of Christ Jesus and God His Father. This is why you can be born again and still be limited and live life like every other person who is not born again. Respond to life the same way, react to things the same way, and sometimes praying literally the prayers, the same prayers. You going to churches and prayer meetings and being anointed and being prophesied to, that does not cause you to grow. Your growth in the things of God is proportional to the knowledge, and the knowledge is of two things, not of the demons, not of anything, but the knowledge you have of Jesus, how well you know Jesus, and the knowledge of God through Jesus. So now you should be able to ask yourself a question and answer it well, is that, where as a child of God, how well do you know Jesus? On the personal level, who is Jesus to you? Because it appears that everything we do is linked to this one man. We pray in His name. We have access to God through Him. God is our now helper through the man Jesus Christ. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. In Him, the Bible says, the fullness of God dwells. This Jesus is very important. So when Jesus begins to be very important to you, there are two things that are involved. You value His person through the Holy Spirit, and you also value His words. Ukitaka kujua how important Jesus has become to you, unaangalia mambo mawili. How you honor Him and how you honor His word. We are now living in the world of social media where people are trying to portray a picture of godliness through what we share in our social media platforms. Na ni wengi, it has become a sickness. Men of God do it, people in the church do it. But sometimes we forget that whatsoever we do share, and that dictates kwa watu wanaotuangalia kwamba tuna Mungu, does not equal the reality that we have in our hearts. I have one day checked on people in some of our WhatsApp platforms, and there are people that would answer. And I remember one of my spiritual daughters said, "A man of God, me when I see an audio, I just comment amen." You know, because that's typically what people do in Christian groups. Amen. Bless you, man of God. Hallelujah. Emoji. But I have seen this in our lives, and from counseling people and talking to people, that now there is an addiction of looking like and not actually being the thing. So now people are creating pictures of their relationship with God, even in the social platforms, and they are missing the real one. So ninasema haya because you have to understand one thing. Prayer is to also be offered with understanding. So it's not enough to just be Jesus, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I need. You need to be able to know the Jesus you're praying in his name. Because you knowing him increases your faith. It gives you rest and easiness when you approach his throne, because you know. Sasa hivi watu wanatafuta kusikia vitu ambavyo vinafanania ukweli, but they are not true. All of us have access with God, but there are some here that are struggling with utilizing that access because of one thing. Hawajaweza ku prioritize time to just want to know. It's not enough to just have hours of prayers. Why should you pray to a God you don't know? So prayer is one of the investments to know God, but his word is the best investment to know him. Because these two goes hand in hand. You cannot pray consistently and have a very fruitful prayer life if your word life is shallow. So as a child of God, you have to make up your mind. If you're going to engage yourself into prayers, you're going to make up your mind, because the degree of how often God answers you actually does not depend on God, it depends on you. Because your faith in God is affected by your knowledge of him. I repeat, your faith in God is always affected by your knowledge of him. So you can pray, but the rest you have when you go to pray is always proportional to what you know, or the revelation that you have of God. Ama, if I have to use another word, is the revealed knowledge of God that you have. It is one thing to know that Jesus is the Son of God. God has given us his name. When this name of Jesus begins to be revealed to you, you pray differently. Why? I was teaching the other day that using the name of Jesus is not just a religious practice, because religion does not help. There is actually the truth behind it. There is a way this name works. So when you pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you are using the power of attorney. So when you speak, the one that hears the prayer, anything and everyone spiritual, does not hear you pray, they hear Jesus pray. So when you say, I pray in the name of Jesus, every word that comes after that in the realms of the spirit is heard as a word announced, pronounced by the man Jesus himself. But you can kill that sight when you, the one that prays, does not understand what you are actually doing. When you don't know the power you are using, the power you are using becomes powerless, obsolete. It does not work, not functional at all. So if you say in the name of Jesus and you don't know what is happening, the way you carry yourself in the spirit will send signals that you are a fake person. This is why we teach you how these things work. So when you close your eyes and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you are supposed to be aware that every word that you speak from that moment, it is no longer you speaking. It is Jesus, oh my, himself speaking. You are going on into an interview. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going. In the spirit, all that they see when you are conscious, they don't see you anymore. They see Jesus. Can you imagine knowing something as simple as this? It changes your life. This is some of those truths that when you know, you practice, and they change how you sit, how you stand, how you move, how you pray, because you have seen the light. Your friend comes and they are sick. It is not about your preparation or the words you use. You look at cancer, you look at that tumor, you look at that disease, and you speak in the name of Jesus. Your cancer die now. So what heals is not your language, it's not the tonality of your voice. What heals is the person of Jesus, that you are using the power in his name. So when we say there is power in the name of Jesus, it's not about the words, J-E. It's about that legal right you have to use his person. So when we say there is power in the name of the president, the power of the president is packaged by the authority bestowed to him by the government. So what the government says the president can do, if you go somewhere in the name of the president, you have the power of the president. So when we say there is power in the name of Jesus, what we are talking about is everything God has bestowed in that name, in that person. It's not about the name. It's about the person who carries the name. Ambayo unaenda kwa jina lake. So when you call upon Jesus, the heaven and the earth sees Jesus. When you go into your car, start that car as you start the day, you say, I start in the name of Jesus. Easy way to survive anything. So if the devil had plans to cause you an accident, imekula kwake. So whatsoever you do, the Bible says, do in the name of Jesus. When you do that, people of God, it is as simple as I'm talking about. When you go to sleep tonight, do it with awareness. Refuse these things of God to become religion. Kama uchawi fulani vile, sijasema kwa jina la Yesu sitakuaje. No. You have to speak it with understanding, awareness, consciousness. I sleep in the name of Jesus. When you go to that bed, it's no longer you. Anything spiritual that sees you says Jesus. So if there is a witch coming to your house, so I send my son to school in the name of Jesus. I send my daughter to school in the name of Jesus. I start this business in the name of Jesus. So it's not something that sounds nice that Christians do. There is actually power in it. Because when you do that, you are invoking all the authority, all the power in that man. So if Jesus heals the sick, when you speak, sickness go in the name of Jesus. Sickness goes, not because you said it. It's no longer you. It's about the person that has power to speak to sicknesses. So if you say, I'm not sick in the name of Jesus, because Jesus cannot be sick, you cannot be sick, you refuse. I pray you capture this. So these are the things you cannot afford to get used to. These are the things you need to understand. This is why we tell people Christianity is easy. To the extent if someone picks a fight with you, they should know who they're picking a fight with. So let them be your enemy, but you be that person in Jesus' name. Because in the things of God, everything operates with the law of humility. If you want Jesus to be seen, you have to be able to remove the self out. Even when we talk about the spirit of understanding, in the word understanding, you understand that there are two words there. There is the word under and the word standing. It is basically standing under. The spirit of understanding is humility. When you want to understand money, you have to stand under. You have to be established under. You have to humble yourself under. The knowledge is there, but who will be a person that will allow his spirit to be taught and actually do what the teacher suggests should be done to make certain things happen? So many people don't have the spirit of understanding is because they are not willing to stand under. They are not willing to submit themselves. They don't want to go down. So when somebody speaks, you can't stand in the same level if you have to capture what they are saying. You have to submit, control the self, sit under, stand under, so that what they say can be visible to you. So it is the spirit of humility that leads men to effective prayers. Because every time you open your mouth to share things with God, you must be able to know your place and His place. Because you don't occupy the same space. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You are not the same. Without you, He survives. Without Him, you will die eventually. And the thing that destroys a lot of Christians is that they don't understand. You can separate yourself from the source and still look alive. But eventually, your leaves will start to itaanza kunywe. So you can actually stop praying and still look fine. You can actually be fornicating and living a certain lifestyle and still look fine. But eventually, you start manifesting death that is in you. Because you are disconnected from the source. We tell people, you can live a life where you don't tithe, you don't give, you don't pray, and still look fine. But after some time, there are certain manifestations that you start seeing and you're asking yourself, what is happening? Because you are playing with the source. This is what most people don't do. You can actually do stuff your way. And you can look fine for some time. It happens like that. But after some time, when you are cut off, you are cut off. And you start saying that, why in my life there is absolutely no results? Why things are not? Because you are cut off. But you were cutting yourself off for some time. Principles in the kingdom of God are principles, and they are very simple. The principle of humility. You cannot substitute that with anything. Tithing is the principle of faith. It will never change. New Testament, Old Testament, whatever testament. It was there before the law. It will be there after. So you can give and be fine. You cannot give and still be fine. But giving because now things are tough does not make things fine. Principles are principle. You cannot disconnect yourself from the source and eventually connect yourself back and see that you are alive. No, it doesn't work like that. Because you have to be also established in the truth in certain things. So there are things that God does to a lot of people to only sustain them. And I wanted to say this tonight before I go to something else. There are some of you that are going through different challenges, tribulations, and things are tough here and tough there. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, blessed are the poor in the spirit. You need to hear this very well. Poor in the spirit does not mean people that don't have. Oh, they live a life ambayo hawana vitu. By the way, for a person to be a poor person in the spirit, you can only do that through the avenue of prayer. Kwa kifupi, hawa ni watu ambao hawamilikiwi. Hear me. The poor in the spirit are the people that are not owned by anything in their souls. These are people that have mastered letting go. Mastered forgiveness, mastered letting go of everything. Meaning that these are poor, are people that have died to themselves. So in their soul, they don't have attachments to things. These are the poor in the spirit. Hakuna kitu ambacho kime connectiwa, they identify themselves with, that makes them something or not something. So your money or their money does not make them something. Marriage does not make them something. Children does not make them something. These are people that identify themselves only with Christ. So when God is to ask them for 10,000 Tanzanian shillings and they are 50, they can give out 10,000. Because that 10 does not make them or unmake them. So to be poor in the spirit is to not be attached to anything in the spirit. It takes death of self. Use it to quote Naongea, and someone said, this is why it is very hard for many people to give tithe, because someone can pray and say, hey God, if you give me 10 million, I'll give you everything. But when the 10 comes, attachment shows up, because this person identifies their freedom with a certain number in money. So when it is so much, they become too free. When it is too low, they become not free. Why? Because they are not poor in the spirit. It's a process. This is why the Bible says, cast your cares unto the Lord. Why? Because God wants you to possess things, goodness, mercy. God wants things to come to you in a certain way, but you cannot attract goodness if you're holding on to lack, poverty. In the natural, you are holding on to what you have lost, what has left your life. You are still holding on to the standard of things, how things used to be. So letting go of how things used to be, your identities, your relationships that failed, all these things of the past makes you, I repeat, letting go launches you to that realm of being poor in the spirit, which is actually becoming rich in the natural, because you become a man and not controlled by material things. Or your happiness, joy, and peace does not depend on the externality, but rather who you are in Christ inside. So you don't have to prove yourself when people wanakusingizia vitu. You don't have to go everywhere fighting everyone. You don't have to be right all the time. Why? Because you are disconnected. You don't have attachment. This is the point of us being identified in Christ. Because our identity, most of the times in ourselves, are tied to. So if you ask someone, who are you? Atakwambia, I'm rich or I'm poor. I'm married. I'm a mother. I am. Ile I am is attached to something. So when your child passes away, you become devastated because you have lost a child. When your marriage now gets attacked, you become something else. The joy disappears because that's who you are. And that is what God wants for his children, not to be attached to these things. Because these things in the flesh can come and can go. As long as we are under the Son, the law of seed and harvest, it will never cease. Also, times and season will forever be changing. As long as you are here, kutakuwa na wakati wa kila jambo. The Bible says time and chance happens to all men. Imagine, I want to help you understand. Because even maturity in the things of God and God blessing you, God does not bless you to entertain your flesh. And the love of God is not sent to you to make you comfortable in your flesh. God giving you a house does not equal God loving you. No. It actually does not. God shows his love to you by helping you to grow and mature into the person he has called you to be. So the reason of mercy, grace, and all these things that we use is so that we can grow by his love. God is so interested in the person we become in the inside than what we possess in the outside. So you cannot go and threat God and say, Father, if you love me, give me a car. It has nothing to do with the car. And sometimes the love of God may launch you into situations that will demand the death to yourself so that you can image a better person. This is why God has designed restoration to be there. That he can return to you things that you used to have, but in better conditions, in better levels of glory. So you can actually ask God for a certain kind of blessing, and before he releases that blessing, he can take things away from your life. So some of you that have been going through periods where you're losing things, it's not because God hates you or because the devil is winning against you. It's because God is elevating you first in the area that the devil cannot take nothing away from you. Because God will not hand over a blessing to you, a blessing that will kill you. This is why the Bible says, as long as the heir remains a child, he's not different with a slave. So God has everything prepared for you, but he can only release certain things to you based on your levels of maturity. How do you handle pressure? What do you do when things don't go your way? What happens when you do things to God and you don't get the outcome that look like what you expected God to do? Does God cease us from being good because he did not give you the answer in the timing you needed? Do you complain about everything you go through? How about your self-control? What about your patience? What about your forgiveness? What about how you handle other people? So you come to understand that God is interested more with your maturity in the inner man than in the outside. Because he wouldn't want you to be blessed by something that will destroy you. No. And sometimes when you see trouble happening in your life, it does not mean the devil has exhausted himself. Because unfortunately, in the things of God, it's not like in the normal schools where you learn first and you do the exam later. In the things of God, the lesson comes different. The timing of the lesson is different because the test goes ahead. You tested first, the lesson come later. So now with all the tests you have been through, The question is, what have you learned? There are some people who have not seated down and develop humility in their hearts to ask themselves, what am I to learn from what I've gone through? Because the answers to your next season, they are always hidden in your past test. It is always like that. Majibu ya mitihani ambayo unapitia sasa hivi hayapo kwenye mitihani itakuja, in the things of God. They are in the test you went through. I remember sometimes we pray for people, and then I came to notice one thing that I want to address now before we start praying. It's because people are so accustomed to needing things from God to the extent when God answers things, it is always them who did them. That many people would not even return to God to give, even to say, oh, glory to God, God did it. Because when God does it, it's often we hustled, we believed, we prayed, we did something. It's never God did it. But we know how to pray and how to request for prayer warriors to pray. But the question is, what do we do when God answers? This is why now there is a bunch of witches in the church. People that are looking for men of God to just pray. And I'm not saying to be prayed for is bad. But are you sensitive enough to honor God when he does something? Can you even see that God has done it? There was a day we woke up in the morning and I'm going out of the house and I realized that tanki ya mafuta ya gari imetoboka. Sometimes God reveals himself in simple things like that, because few meters ningeenda mbele, gari ngelipuka. Nani alitoboa tanki? Litoboka yenyewe? I don't know. But the beautiful thing is that sensitivity in the spirit to realize that kuna shida. That was God in simple stuff like that. But we miss him. You didn't take the trip and someone got into an accident. That was God. But you miss it. In a way, you don't have the money and all this, but something, somehow, some way, you made it through this week and the last week and the other week. It was God. You got that 50,000. You got that 100,000. You got that. You didn't see. That was God, because you are looking to become a rich person. That you are missing the lessons that God still provided. He did it. And God is answering your prayers all along. But you are always looking at the future and you are missing what God does now. And God is not even interested in your future. Because to God, there is no difference between your future, your past, and your present. This is why God does not like, actually, it is considered to be an act of great evil for the children of God to consider their past. I will teach you one day. Because the avenue of your past, when it is not to glorify God, it becomes a portal of demonic activity through your mind. So the enemy can actually use the door of your past to oppress you and allow demons, as long as you engage yourself in there, looking at that past. I pray someone hears me. So as a child of God, you need to develop eyes to see what God has done today, what God has done to you today. Mungu amefanya nini kwako today? The Bible says, give us today our daily bread. Even sometimes I tell people, even our giving should be done daily. The reason why most people don't get daily is because they don't give daily. They don't even focus on producing daily. But have you seen how God sustained you today? And if God did it today without you praying, what if God is answering the prayer you prayed 2 weeks ago, that God never let me go? Father, usiniache. And he had to send someone to show up on your case just when you needed it the most. You thought that was coincident? It wasn't. It was God showing up on your case. But have you seen? So when we go and talk to God about our lives all the time in the name of Jesus, Humility is to be able to see how God has taken us through the days. We may still going through something, or we are going to the promise, but we should not miss the things that God does every day using people we never knew. You needed someone to sign your document, someone showed up. You needed someone to do something and pray for you, someone showed up. You needed this and that. You didn't get that thing, but something happened. You didn't get this, but God still provided for you. You have to be able to see God there, because if you don't, the same test will repeat itself. Because what is more important to God than anything is today, this hour, this time, this night. Look at what God has done. Look at what God is doing. And see that He will do it. Can you see how great your God is? There are some of you have forgotten how far God has brought you from January. How many times you cried and said, God, if you don't show up now, I will show up. You prayed that day and you forgot the prayer you prayed with tears, but God showed up. Father, heal my relationship, and He did it. The moment He gave you back the relationship, you became a professional. Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll do this. He did it. Look at today. Yes, look at today. Look at where you are now. Look at so many lessons of the goodness of God. I'm saying this to show you that God has been answering your prayers, and you should not stop praying. There are some prayers you never even opened your mouth and He answered. It is the same God that will do it tonight. But not only that He will do it, He's doing it even when you didn't pray. Some of you are witnesses. There are moments you came from doing crazy things and God did it the next day. You never prayed a special prayer. The only thing that God is looking from you is that heart of humility to say, Lord, I cannot do it without You. So your confidence should not be in that 50,000 remaining in your account or 100,000 that you have. Because you know your salary is never enough to take care of you. But there is a way. Sometimes when you sit down and you're a person that can look, you know it is as if there is a power somewhere that is handling your affairs. Every time you are put at a very funny corner, you get out. You are a child of God and you have a history with God. I'm here to remind you today, and to encourage you that you should continue to talk to God about everything. And like I said in the past, when you pray in the name of Jesus, you cannot not pray the right prayer. And your prayer always reaches the throne of God. I tell you, child of God, God is capable, is able to understand the language of your heart. God is more than capable of doing that. He does understand. He's more than able to understand the voice of your heart. So don't worry about the expression. Just be there as a child. Lay down on the floor and express yourself before your master. Sometimes you cry. Sometimes you will not know what to say and you'll be quiet. Sometimes you will just mourn and cry. Even that reaches the throne of God. People of God, you should pray all the time. Do you know sometimes your complaints become prayers? You may be here and you say, God, I say, blah, 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 and something happened. You wake up in the morning and say, God, I'm going to do it today. And you don't know how you're going to do it. And He does it. And then you sleep in the night. So God is not a God that answers special prayers because you say, now I'm going to take 3 hours to pray. He's the God of humility. He's just looking for that quality
That
is what leads us to miraculous things. That, my friends, is what changes lives. Design your life and pray that God will open your gates of finances, that you make money every day, that you get to give to God every day, that you get to do things for God every day, because God does it for you every single day. He does it every day. He did it yesterday. He did it 2 weeks ago. He did it today. If you look at it, you will see. You had something. Someone was sick. God healed them. You were sick. He healed you. This happened there. We are praying and God answers. But what is the point of you continuing prayers if you cannot notice how God answers? God answers by manifesting things. The answers of God are not limited by words. He tells you. So some people are telling me, man of God, I'm looking to hear the voice of God. The voice of God is everywhere. It's not just audible. It's everywhere. Look around you. When your daughter, your son, your child, your friend calls you and say, my best friend, you will make it. That is God speaking. Don't miss it. The voice of God is when someone you never knew gives up a call and says to you what you needed to hear in that moment. That is God. Because how did someone, spirit, be provoked to say exactly what you needed? There are people in your lives that becomes the voice of God, because God just placing them in this time of your life. It is God speaking to you by the presence of one person in your life. So when you look at God, you have to look around you. That car that was supposed to hit you and did not hit you. God was speaking, child of God. Mara nyingi Mungu ana speak by doing. And he does things that appears to be so simple. I remember one day I'm in a street in town. I'm singing a song and I'm driving. I'm not looking to the left. And from nowhere, nikasikia milio ya matairi. And I'm looking and there is this big car just an inch away. Just that. Yani, one step, we were talking something else. Who made that driver stop? I didn't see the car coming. It is God speaking, telling you, I love you, son. I got your back. God has been speaking. God has been answering. God has been giving you answers, messages every day. But where is your grateful heart? Because when you pray, don't be limited by just your request for tomorrow. God, I need a car. God, I need a bus. God, I need a house. God, there are some of you, you're supposed to stop saying I need and start looking at what God has done that you never appreciated. Because that is also prayer. When God was teaching me how to pray, I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know how to tell God what I needed. The only thing I knew to say is, God, thank you. Unless you can see what God has done that is more than your request, your humility still is to be questioned in somewhere. Look around you and see. Just look around until you see that God has been good. To the extent that when you wake up in the morning, the first word that comes out of your mouth is, Lord, I'm grateful. I may not have money for food or rent or my children going there, or my body may be in pain, but God, I'm grateful. I want to remind someone tonight before I go that you are equipped for a brilliant life. Let go. Sometimes what God is expecting from you is when you say, Lord, I need a car, drop it at his feet and let it go. Continue to appreciate God for today because he has given you the car already. You are going to meet it 5 days from now. He has given you the house already. He has given you that deal. Let it go. Now enjoy the presence of God in this moment. Live, cook, drink, dance. Because God is answering you now. Everything about Christianity is anti-depression. If you look at Jesus, Jesus is a stress medicine. Because in him is found rest and freedom. But who will be the man that will make up their minds and say, Lord, I surrender my soul to you, to the dictates of your word. When you say, I should not worry, I will not worry. When you say, I should let go. This is why fellowship is very important. Because most of us needs constant update of the word of God. Daily. Because we are living in the world that information is coming from every side and faith comes by hearing. The more you are scrolling on social media, the more you are hearing things either that demoralize you, cut down your faith, or lift you up. But I'm here to tell you that your God is so gracious. You're supposed to wake up in the morning with a smile. I know you have challenges, but look at God. What is God telling you by looking at what you're going through? He says, I trust you, son. Instead of saying, why me? Why not you? What if God is saying, I trust you? I've hidden my opportunity behind the opposition you're going through. And I want you to talk to me about what you're going through, because in the middle of this, I'll give you words, instructions, timely instructions for you to constantly emerge victorious. Because the Bible says, in this world, you will face tribulation. They will come. But we have overcome. We have overcome. How many of you have been in that place where you didn't know if you will face tomorrow and overcome? How many of you cried out one day? Some of you cried out when you are young and you are pregnant. Very young. And you had to abort and nobody knows you did it. You're very young. And you say to God, God, if you push me out, if you get me out of this. How many of you rented your first house and you said, God, if you help me pay my rent, and you were supposed to be chased out, and you still did it. How many of you faced a heartbreak so bad that you never knew you would come out, but you did it by the grace of God? How many of you were left by everyone? You never knew that you could make right or left. And you are here tonight, praising God. How many of you were left stranded? No help. How many of you fought battles? So strange. And you are still standing. How many of you, the people you loved, betrayed you and went? You never thought, but here you are. Look at God. Look at God. Don't waste another day of your life praying prayers, cursing people of your past. Don't look at it. Look at what God is doing today. Look at what God is making possible today. Look at what God is sending your way today. Look at the blessing God is releasing to you today. Because the secrets of the prophetic is in the now. Any person can access your past. Your past is a dead life. But look at today. When you pray, pray with so much freedom, so much boldness. Because if you have to address your need to God, you have to address them now, today. It's that urgent. And you have to leave them at his feet today. Are you concerned about something? Even as I'm talking to you right now, open your mouth and pray. You don't need a special prayer. You don't need a special format of praying. Just go to your Father. Don't knock on the door. You don't have to say to God, you created Mountain Kilimanjaro. I remind you that you are God. He knows who he is. Father, you created Jesus. You don't need that now. Just shoot. Go before your Father with boldness. If you have to cry, cry. If you have to say, God, I'm so sorry that I never had time to say, I am grateful for all the goodness. Sometimes I forget how much you have done for me. But what you have done for me is more than what I've done for myself. You have sent to me people I have never imagined I would meet. You have been my God, my help, my constant help. There are times when I messed up intentionally, but you remain to be God. What if you would have taken your grace away from me? What would I use to stand? What if you would not shown me mercy when I constantly messed up? What if, oh God, you would have forgotten me? God, child of God, is fighting battles for you. You have never seen. And when the Bible says, leave the battle to him, when God says to you that the battle belongs to me, he knows what he's talking about. Because, child of God, if the day comes and God opens your eyes to see what you are up against, to see the armies that are against you, to see people in this world, actually in the spirit, that don't wish you well at all, even your blood people, you will not sleep at night. To see people that will sacrifice millions of money just to acquire your star, you would not sleep. So when God says the battle is mine, that is one thing that is enough for us to be grateful. That God, we get to cast our cares to you, because we don't know how to get ourselves out of some things we have gotten ourselves into. Father, if it is not your grace, if it is not your mercy, if it's not your kindness, where would we be? So if you say the battle belongs to you, Father, with humility today, we surrender every enemy, every concern, every debt, everything that concerns us, we give it to you, oh God. Let not our pride get in the way of you being our Father and being our God. Show up in our lives as a mighty God. For you say, with you all things are possible, and we pray tonight, if there is a stubborn debt, Father, your wisdom is without limitation. If there is a stubborn child in any family that hears my voice now, Father, your hands of love and mercy are without limitation. Father, if there is a sickness, depression, insomnia, ulcers, magonjwa mifupa, any form of a trouble, Father, if there is anything that we have held on to, that we have had a tough time giving it to you, Lord, we have seen that you are good. Thank you for saying that you can fight for us. We might have doubted you before. We might have thought that you took too long, oh God. But who can understand your wisdom? You are a very intentional God that you picked us for us, even the dates of our own birth. Your wisdom is so vast that you have hidden the day that we will depart from this place. You are God that never makes a mistake. Father, we will not even know when you make a mistake, because you are that intentional. Even if you make a mistake, it will be so perfect. You are God all by yourself. You stand in the counsel of yourself, surrounded by yourself. And by your word, everything in earth is sustained. Father, if I have to praise you, I praise you because you never fail. I praise you because you are faithful and you keep your word. I praise you because even in our unfaithfulness, you remain to be committed. I praise you because you are a covenant-keeping God, that you are so merciful that you keep your part and help us keep ours. Lord, I thank you because every time we mess up, the blood of your Son still stands and speaks good on our behalf.
I thank you because you